Okay, let's take our Bibles and let's go to, we're going to look at several passages, but we're going to start in the book of Acts tonight. So if you'll go over to Acts chapter 16, tonight I want to take a break again from 1 Corinthians before I dive back in there. And I want to talk to you tonight about what is the call of God into the ministry? I've been wanting to do this for a while with the church, and I want to look at this. What is the call of God? Not just into the ministry. I guess really we could open it up to a lot of things. People say, well, God called me into youth ministry. God called me to work with teens. God called me to work with children. God called me to teach a life group. God called me to go into the ministry or to be a missionary. Well, what do people mean by that? You know, I used to wonder what in the world that meant. Because it was always kind of presented when I was a teenager. It was always kind of presented as this, I don't know, kind of spooky, mystical thing that you really had no control over. You just never knew when it might happen to you. You never knew when this zap from God is going to come. And God is going to put his hand on you and call you into the ministry. And you better obey or you'll end up like Jonah in the belly of a whale, you know. And it was always kind of presented that way. It was this mysterious kind of thing, this zap, you know, and boom, you're called into the ministry, you know. And it's kind of presented that way. And people use Paul as an example. They'll say, well, Paul, when he was on the Damascus Road, you know, God just kind of knocked him off his horse and he had this face-to-face encounter with Christ. And just all of a sudden this lightning bolt came and Paul was called. But can I just remind you, there's only one Paul in the Bible. And what happened to Paul was very unique and it was one of a kind. And remember also, the Bible was still very incomplete at that time. And I can just tell you that for me, it didn't happen that way at all. Okay. It was not a lightning bolt. It was not this mysterious thing. For me, the way it happened was I trusted the Lord as my Savior as a teenager. My brother led me to Christ. I had been raised up in a church where I went to church and it was kind of like a social club. Went through confirmation, went through a water baptism rite in that church after I went through confirmation classes. But I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know Christ. I didn't know one verse of the Bible. And my brother had gotten saved. He's 9 years older than me. He got saved, trusted Christ. And over a period of a couple of years, I watched him and I watched the changes in his life. And I ended up trusting Christ when I was a teenager. I don't remember the exact age, probably 13, 14 years old. And then when I was 16 years old, I remember surrendering my life to go into ministry work and to preach the Word of God and teach it. And so that happened at 16. I just surrendered. I just had a desire. I remember asking my brother one day, who was like my mentor, and I'm like, Steve, I said, how do you know if God's calling you into the ministry? Because I always heard that term. You know, how do you know if God's calling you into the ministry? And my brother was a really big help. He just kind of looked at me and said, I don't know. He said, I don't know, Dan. He said, I guess it's just a desire. It's just a desire that you have. And I said, oh, okay. And I thought about that. So when I was 16, I went forward in my church and just kind of publicly surrendered and I want to go into the ministry. So then no lightning bolt, no zap, nothing like that. I just wanted to do it, you know. So I said, I'll do it. And I surrendered and did it. And then at 18, I graduated high school, went off to Bible college at 18 years old. And many of you know at that point, you pick up on the story. And no, I went to Bible college in Jacksonville, Florida, met Denise. We ended up coming down here on the weekends my senior year of college. When I was 20, I guess, I came down here on the weekends and would serve in the church on weekends and then go back to Jacksonville during the week for college. And then when I was about 21, 22 years old, graduated college and came down here full time. And you guys haven't been able to get rid of me since then. And that was, let's see, about 19, 20 years ago. So, you know, that was the way it happened for me. Now, I want you to look with me at a man by the name of Timothy in your Bible. Now, Timothy was Paul's close co-laborer. He worked with Paul very closely. In fact, Paul said, I don't have any man like-minded like Timothy. And there's no man like-minded like him. Paul said, if there's anybody that's like-minded with me, he said, man, Timothy's the guy. So Timothy was very well respected by Paul. In fact, two books in your Bible are named after this man. Can anybody tell me the names of those books? There you go. 1 Timothy and 2 Timothy. Now, how did Timothy end up in the ministry? How did he end up being a preacher of God's word? Look at Acts chapter 16. And let me show you. Acts 16, 1. It says, then came he, Paul, to Derbe and Lystra. And behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, or Timothy, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess and believed, but his father was a Greek. So his mom was a Jew, dad was a Gentile. Verse 2, which was well reported of, that's Timothy. Timothy was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him. Look at that. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews that were in those quarters. Didn't want to be an offense to them, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders, which were at Jerusalem. Did you see a lightning bolt there? Yes or no? No lightning bolt. Nothing spooky. Nothing mystical. Nothing earth-shattering there in that text. What happened? Well, I'll tell you exactly what happened. Timothy was a guy who just loved God and loved the Bible. And he loved serving the Lord. And he had a good, solid testimony. And so the Apostle Paul said, man, you're just the kind of guy we need. Hey, I want you to go forth into the ministry with us. And Timothy said, okay. And so Timothy made a choice with his life. He simply made a life choice. He said, I want to do what Paul's doing. And he did it. He took off and did it. Now, why did Timothy surrender so readily? And by the way, I think that what you see with Timothy is more the norm, okay, than what you're going to see with Paul getting knocked off your horse with a lightning bolt, okay? What we see with Timothy would be more the norm. Why did Timothy surrender so readily to go into the ministry? Well, obviously the guy had a very strong spiritual desire in his heart. But question, where does that spiritual desire come from? You know, I was thinking about this. I was in a youth group with a lot of teenagers. Why at 16 years old did I have a desire to go into the ministry? Why did I have a desire to want to teach the Bible to people? Why did I want to go and serve the Lord, but other teenagers didn't? Was it because God called me, but He didn't call them? And that I was kind of special to God, and so God gave me the calling, but all they were just kind of left off, you know, left out of the whole deal. You know, is it something that God just all of a sudden zapped you with, and one morning you wake up and say, whoa, I want to go into the ministry. You just wake up one morning, you look in the mirror and say, I want to spend my life teaching God's word to others and impacting lives for Christ because I got a lightning bolt that this is what I need to do. No. That's not at all how it works. I want to show you where that spiritual desire comes from. Okay, tonight. You see, Timothy had a spiritual desire to go into the ministry with Paul and just made a life choice. Okay? Some of you are waiting on a lightning bolt to go work with some of these teenagers that need your help. Some of you are waiting on a lightning bolt for God to call you to go teach a life group for Brother Rich, Pastor Rich in the life group ministry. Some of you are waiting on a lightning bolt to hit you and where God's going to call you to go work with children or to go be a missionary or to go into the ministry and all these things. And I'm telling you, that's wrong. It comes forth from a spiritual desire in your heart. But where does that desire in your heart come from? Number one tonight, I want to give you 3 points. Number one, it begins with a desire for God's word. I want you to go to 1 Peter chapter number 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. It begins with a desire for God's word. We're talking about this thing of a spiritual desire to do something for God or to go into the ministry or to teach God's word. Where does it come from? Number one, it begins with a desire for God's word. Look at 1 Peter 2, verse number 2. He says, as newborn babes. And then what's the next word, church?
Desire.
Desire. Desire. The sincere milk of the word, that ye may, notice what? Grow thereby. Can I ask you a question? Why would anybody want to go into the ministry if they don't love the Bible? Does that make sense? Yes or no?
Yeah.
All right. Just want to make sure you're awake out there and I'm making sense. Why would anybody want to teach a life group if they don't love the Bible? Why would anybody want to teach teenagers if they don't love the Bible? If you have no spiritual desire for God's word, if it just sits on the shelf all week, then why would you want to go into the ministry and why would you want to teach people the Bible? You know? And here's the thing. Years ago, I can remember in our youth group, teenagers, they're just as, you know, I mean, I know some of the teenagers, and I know their life, and I know some of those teenagers were living very carnal, worldly lives. And they come to a 3-day camp, and by the end, you know, by the end of the week, God's called me into the ministry. Well, not really, amen. Because you see, they're making an emotional decision based on what they perceive to be a zap. And you know what I found out? They never followed through. Because you see, their surrender didn't come forth from a desire for God's word. It was just an emotional response to what they perceived as a lightning bolt. So the decision didn't stick. Why would anybody want to go into the ministry if they don't love the Bible? Amen? I mean, that'd be like somebody flunking every math class in high school and college and somebody saying, what do you want to do when you graduate? I want to be an accountant. They hate math. That'd be like somebody saying, oh, I hate sports. I can't stand sports. Man, there's not one single sport I like. Really? Well, what do you want to do when you graduate? I want to be a sports analyst. No. The reason why more people, I believe, are not choosing a life of service to God, very, very simple. Satan has cleverly gotten people to desire the things of the world more than they desire God's word. And what's happened is people are so caught up in the TV and movies and cars and music and video games and toys and this and that. And they're so caught up in making money or whatever it is, but they're so caught up in things of the world. And there's nothing wrong with those things in their proper place. But Satan gets people so entangled in the affairs of this life that there's no desire for the Word of God in their life. It just crowds out the desire for God's word. And as people give their life to these things, as people just give their life, you know, they just give their whole life to making money, or they give their life to their house or their car or their hobbies or whatever it is. As they give their life to this stuff, then it totally quenches their hunger and their thirst for the Word of God. And they have no spiritual appetite. See, there's no appetite for the things of God. Look with me over at Mark, chapter number 4, the Gospel of Mark. And go over there and I'll show you a great verse here. Mark 4. Mark 4. And Let's go down here to verse number 19. Mark 4:19. It says, and the cares of this world. Let's go up to verse 18. And these are they which are sown among thorns, such as hear what? They hear the word. And the cares of this world. Now look at this. Now follow the words. And the cares of this world. And the deceitfulness of riches. And the lusts of what? Other things. Entering in, do what, church? Choke the word, and it becometh unfruitful. In other words, they spend hours in front of the TV, or hours with movies, or hours and upon hours in whatever it is that they're caught up in. And they never open up this living book written from God Almighty to us. You see, as a believer who has God's Holy Spirit living inside of us, I want to contend to you tonight, there should be a spiritual desire for the Word of God in our life. But did you know Satan has a desire for you too? He said, what did Jesus tell Peter? He said, Satan, he desires to sift you as wheat. What they do is they take that grain. And they take that grain and they'd pass it through a sieve. And the sieve would tear that grain apart. And Satan wants to put you through his sieve, and he wants to just tear your life apart like that grain. And the way he tears your life apart every time is he does it by moving you away from God's Word. Moving you away from the Word of God. The Bible is our only source of divine revelation. There is no other way that God has to communicate His truth to us other than through His completed Word. And without God's Word actively working in your life, you know what happens? It goes back to this morning's message about reaping and sowing. Without God's Word as an active part of your life, you're not going to go out and make good choices and good decisions, and you're sure not going to choose a life of ministry for the Lord. You see, this book is your lifeline. You've got to get in it. You've got to read it. You've got to desire it. You've got to want it. You've got to hunger for it. It's your lifeline. This is your lifeline. And the reason why people don't choose to serve God, and the reason why people don't choose a life of ministry, whether I'm talking about full-time ministry, like me or Pastor Larry or Pastor Rich, or whether it's just a life of ministry, just serving the Lord. I mean, look, there's a lot of people that I've met in my life that work a secular job that you can just tell, man, they do that to pay the bills. Their heart is just to serve God. Their heart is just totally devoted to wanting to minister. And you know, but here's my point. God's Word, it's that desire to want to minister. It comes forth, it springs forth, not some zap that hits you spookily and mysteriously. No, that desire, it comes from a desire for the Word of God. But then it continues. And the second point is this. You desire God's Word, but then number two, it continues with a desire to want to teach God's Word to others. I want you to go to Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians 1. Okay, everybody turn over there. Colossians 1 verse 9. It continues with a desire to teach God's Word to others. Colossians 1 verse 9. It says, for this cause... Look what Paul writes here, verse 9. For this cause we also, now look at this, since the day we heard it of their salvation, we do not cease to pray for you and to desire. Now notice that word. What was Paul's desire? That you, the Colossians, might be filled with the knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Now, where does the knowledge of God's will come from? Somebody tell me, where does it come from? God's Word. Where does wisdom and spiritual understanding come from? What he said, where does it come from? God's Word. Where do we learn how to please God? God's Word. You guys are getting the answers here, right? You know what? It's the same answer every time. I'll ask you one more. How can we increase in the knowledge of God? God's Word. See? Paul had a desire for these people at Colossae to get it. He said, I want you to understand the Word of God. Paul said, I got a burning passion for this. I want you to get it. I want you to get it. I want you to be filled with the knowledge of His will. I want you to have some spiritual understanding in your life. I want you to know how to go out and walk in an intelligent understanding of the Word of God. Paul said, I've got this burning passion in my heart for you people. I want you to get it. You see, when the Word of God, now listen, when the Word of God is making a difference in your life, it is only natural for you to want other people to understand it so it can make a difference in their life too. That's only natural, right? And there's so many people out there that need the knowledge of God. Now, how are they going to get that knowledge unless somebody goes and shares the Word of God with them? In Acts chapter 8, if you'll turn over there, I'm going to look at a couple of verses in the book of Acts. In Acts chapter 8, I want to show you here. Acts chapter 8, Philip goes out into the desert. He meets an Ethiopian eunuch, and he goes here. Look at verse 20. We'll skip on down for time's sake. And he said, verse 30, Philip ran. Let's go to verse 30. Philip ran thither to him and heard him read the prophet Isaiah. This guy's reading the Bible, this Ethiopian man. Philip said, understandest thou what thou readest? Hey, do you understand what you're reading? Look at verse 31. And he said, how can I except what? Some man should guide me. And he desired Philip that he would come up and sit with him. And then it goes on down here and it says in verse 35, Philip opened his mouth and began at the same scripture and preached unto him Jesus. You know, I like that where this guy says, you know what? I want to understand this, but how can I except some man guide me? Go over to Acts 13. Acts chapter 13. Do you think there are people like that Ethiopian guy around the world today? Amen. Think there's people like that in Daytona, Port Orange, New Smyrna, Deland? Yeah. Look at Acts 13, verse 7. Paul comes on the scene here, and Paul is beginning his missionary journey. And he goes here in this city, and it says in verse 7, which was with the deputy of the country, Sergius Paulus. Notice this, he was a prudent man, it's a Gentile man. And notice that he called for Barnabas and Saul, that's Paul. And look what this says, isn't this precious? He called for them when he heard they were in town, and he desired to hear the word of God. This guy said, I want to hear the Word of God. Tell me what it says. There are people all over this world that want to know God. They want to understand the Bible. But there's got to be somebody with a burning desire and a passion to want to tell them and to want to show them the truth of God. I remember after I got saved that I began working with my brother in junior church with the kids. And I remember I went out on the bus ministry and we'd go out on the bus route. We'd invite kids to come to church and we'd see these kids come and they'd trust Christ and we'd see them begin to grow and begin to change. And I was so excited about what I was learning that I just had to tell somebody else. You know, it was all new to me. I'm learning all this stuff and I just had to tell somebody. And so finally, my brother came up to me one day and he said, I got an idea, Dan. I said, what? He said, When we pick up the last kid at the last house and start heading to church, he said, it's about a 15-minute drive to church. He said, why don't you stand up on that old bus and just, why don't you preach God's word to those kids? I said, really? I felt like I had been invited to preach to a 5,000 member church. Man, I was so honored. I could not believe he was going to let me preach every Sunday to those kids. And I took it so serious, man. I'd study and I would learn and I'd get a message in me. And I was so passionate about wanting them to understand the Bible. And I can remember that old bus. You know, of course, there wasn't any air conditioning. You just roll the windows down, you know. And so I had to holler to be heard. That's probably why I do that today. It goes all the way back, see, to when I cut my teeth preaching on that bus route. And I was 15, 16 years old, just letting her rip on that bus, you know, preaching to those kids. And you say, where'd that come from? Well, I had a desire for God's word, and then it continued with a desire to want to teach other people the Bible. But, man, this is so good what I'm learning. Man, I got to tell somebody else about this. I got to share this with somebody else. You know, Paul said, my heart's desire. And Paul said, my prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. You know, we need some young people and some young adults and some married people and some middle-aged folks and some senior citizens. We need some people at Crossroads with a heart's desire for other people to know the truth of God. A burning passion to share God's truth. That's where it comes from, folks. Go to Jeremiah chapter 20. I'll show you a neat, neat verse in the Old Testament. Jeremiah chapter 20. This is a really neat verse right here. Jeremiah 20. Jeremiah 20. Look at verse number 8. This is so good. Jeremiah had it rough, man. He's called to go and prophesy doom and gloom to Judah. And it wasn't going real well. And in verse 8, it says, for since I spake, I cried out and I cried violence and spoil. In other words, since I've been telling them God's word, I cried violence and spoil. Because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me. And a derision, which means a laughing stock, daily. He said, man, he said, the word of God I was preaching was made a reproach to me. He said, I was nothing but a laughing stock. Verse 9, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. I'm done. I'm through. I'm quitting the ministry. I'm done with this business. Man, I've been out there preaching and I'm nothing but a derision. I'm nothing but a laughing stock. He said, man, I'm done with this stuff. I wash my hands of it. I quit. You ever feel that way, Pastor Larry? But look what the Bible says. But his word was in mine heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing. That means to keep it in, and I could not stay. I couldn't keep from proclaiming it. He says, I said I'm done. I said I'm quitting this stuff. He said, but God's word was like a burning fire shut up in my bones, and I got weary with shutting up, and I couldn't shut up anymore. I had to tell him God's word, and he was back at it again. You see, the call of God into the ministry, if you're waiting on a zap, you're waiting on the wrong thing. It begins with just a desire in your heart for God's word, and then there's this burning passion to take what you're learning and to teach other people. And then the third step in the process, go to 1 Timothy 3, and this is the last verse we'll look at. 1 Timothy 3. The final step in this thing is that it culminates with a desire Notice how I've used the word desire in every point. You got a desire for God's word, a desire to teach it to others. And then there's this desire that you just want to provide godly leadership for other people. In 1 Timothy 3:1, it says, Paul writes, this is a true saying. If a man, what's the next word?
Desire
the office of a bishop. That means an elder, a pastor. He desireth a good work. Here's what happens, church. The word of God gets in you and it burns like a fire. And as you begin to get a little taste of sharing and teaching God's word to other people, you know what you start to think? You start to think, I'd kind of like to spend my life doing this. I kind of like this. I remember I was preaching and sharing God's word in my public school. I was preaching God's word on the bus route. And every once in a while I get to preach in the junior church and I'm sharing God's word, you know, here and there. And I'm thinking, man, this is all right. This is awesome. I kind of like spending my life doing this. And in 1 Timothy 3:1, notice it talks about somebody desiring the office of a bishop. That word desire, do you know what it means? It means to reach out after or to long after. You hear people say, well, I just don't know if God's calling me into the ministry. Well, the Bible says that the man desires. It's him reaching out after it. It's him longing for it. It's something that springs forth from within him. It's not an outer zap. It's an inward desire that comes out of your heart. You desire God's word, then you want to teach it to others. And then all of a sudden you're like, man, I want to spend my life doing this. I want to provide godly leadership for other people. It's an inward desire in your heart. And I'm afraid a lot of people cop out a little bit and they don't ever consider full-time ministry because they think, well, God hadn't called me. And again, they think it's some kind of spooky, mysterious zap, and it's not at all. You say, Pastor Dan, why do you do what you do? Why have you spent 20 years just teaching the Bible here? Why do you do that? Well, it's very simple. I can tell you real simple. It's not because I got a zap 20-something years ago. It's not because a lightning bolt hit me. It's not because I got got knocked off my horse, so to speak. I'm going to tell you very simply why I do what I do. It's because I love God's word, I love to teach it to others, and I love to see lives impacted by it. Now, you say, that sure doesn't sound very glamorous. Well, that's the truth. I love to know that I'm having a part in seeing lives changed. And you want to know what really excites me? What excites me is when I look around and I see Rob and Colleen Hall on our staff as youth directors who surrendered here in this ministry. And I see Tommy and Sherry Thompson who surrendered right here in this ministry. And just going through the staff there, I see Rich and Kathy Costanza, who surrendered in this ministry on pastoral staff. All these guys on staff. I look and I go through our staff and I think, Shannon Dan surrendered right here in this ministry. My own son, Clint Proctor, who works some maintenance here at the church, he surrendered here under this ministry. I look at Kathy Shive. It's good to have Kathy here tonight. Brother Norm is doing so good. Kathy got to come to church tonight. Amen. Isn't that great? And Kathy is our counselor on staff. And I see her, she surrendered under this ministry. And I look around and I see many of you in these Bible Institute classes and you're training for ministry. I look around the country and I get emails like I got a couple of weeks ago from Ricky Ortiz out in the state of Washington as a youth pastor and surrendered here in this ministry. Now he's serving the Lord full time. After his education, he's out in Washington. I think about a phone call I got from Brother Scott Kirshner a couple days ago. Surrendered right here. Now he's a youth pastor in Georgia. And I could go on and on and on. You understand? We could be here all night talking about this. But you know, I look at these people and I look at what God's done and I think, wow, That's exciting. Because a A 16-year-old, white-headed teenager desired to serve God with his life and made a choice. Made a choice. It's a choice. See, the call of God into the ministry, it's a life choice that you make. And the same word used here for if a man desire the office of a bishop. Can I show you the exact same word there, desire, in chapter 6? Will you look over at chapter 6 with me? And I'm going to show you the exact same word here, okay, that's used. Different English word, same Greek word. 1 Timothy 6:10. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some what? Coveted. That's the same word back there for desired, the office of a bishop. So you got two groups of people in 1 Timothy. One desired a life of service unto God to impact people with God's word. The other group over here desired the wealth that the world could give. Now I look back and I think, yeah, I could have gone where the wealth was when I was 16, 18 years old. But I made a decision. I made a choice. I've only got one life to live. Only got one. And I want to spend it telling others about God's word. And I want to spend it telling people about the gospel of Christ and seeing lives eternally changed. And you know what? Here's the deal. I'm not going to see the full results of that choice until I get to heaven. Because Paul told the Thessalonians, you're going to be my glory and joy at when Christ comes. You'll be my glory and joy. And you know, tonight, maybe you're here and you've been hiding under the guise of, well, God hadn't called me. Well, I hopefully tonight have kind of lifted that whole idea, just kind of lifted that veil from off your eyes, that it's not some spooky thing that God calls you and you just wake up one morning and you're zapped and that's it. No, it's a desire. It's a choice. You desire God's word, then you want to tell others, and then you just say, I want to spend my life telling people God's word and providing godly leadership for others. That's not a decision that you have to make when you're a teenager. That's a decision you can make when you're 18, when you're 25. I can tell you a pastor right now, you remember Dick and Lee Pesky? Dick and Lee Pesky's pastor up in Rochester, New York. His name's George Grace. He didn't make that decision till he'd already had his education. He was out in the business world, had a financially successful, and was much older, made that decision at an older age. And now here he is 20 years later. He's pastoring a church up in Rochester, New York, reaching multitudes of people for Christ. So it's not a decision that you make as a kid. You know, it's not a decision you have to make when you're 20, 30, 40, 50, 60. It's a decision that comes out of some choices that you make, and the choices come out of a desire in your heart. And so that's what I want you to see. What's the call of God into the ministry? Well, the call of God is simply that you have that desire in your heart for God's word. That desire is to teach others what you're learning, and then that desire continues where, man, I just want to spend my life doing this. It's nothing spooky at all. Nothing mysterious. It's a life choice that you make. But remember the verse we read? Remember two groups of people. The love of money, which while some coveted after. Remember the guy in Mark 4? It said there in Mark chapter 4 what? The cares of this world and the cares of these other things choke the word. And he becomes unfruitful. The word of God can't flow through him because all these other things are choking it. See? Choking it. But it's easy to let the cares of the world choke the word and then hide under the guise, well, God hadn't called me. So, you know, hopefully tonight you'll see that Timothy just made a life choice. Paul said, hey, Timothy, man, you seem to love God's word. You love the Lord. You got a good testimony. Hey, man, why don't you come with us? Okay. And look what all God did through Timothy. Look at the awesome relationship that came with Paul and Timothy. Why? He made a life choice. All right, let's go to the Lord in prayer tonight.